You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio.
Now, back to Barely Legal.
Okay, welcome back to the Barely Legal Show. I'm Robin Earle. We've got David Spade and Elliot Harris in the studio. And hey, guys, let's just come out right with it right now. You know, I mean, to get all these great guests, we are the premier. We have interviewed more Hall of Famers than any other talk show probably in the country or in the world.
35 now.
Exactly. And so these are being taped, and if we have some glitches here and there, don't worry about it. But I think the important thing is that you hear the interviews, hear how these guys are, and it's just great to bring them on and have some fun with them.
But we do all stay up on Sunday night to listen at midnight live.
There you go. Absolutely. So
let's just go right to our next guest.
Let's go right on.
Hall of Famer Mel Renfro. He was a 10-time Pro Bowl selection, safety, cornerback for the Dallas Cowboys. How you doing, Mel?
I'm doing great. Doing great. How about yourself?
Great. Good.
Well, you're certainly doing better than the Cowboys, let's put it that way.
Well, you know, I saw them in training camp, and I had got a bad feeling during training camp. They kept saying that they could, you know, they would get better, but they never did. But, you know, when you set a trend, it kind of stays with you.
Boy, I tell you what, you had a nice long career there with the Cowboys, and I see 1977 was your last year. That was my rookie year, for crying out loud. And I remember coming into Texas Stadium there on, I think it was the day after Christmas that playoff game was, and you guys just kind of stuck it to us 37-7. Isn't it amazing how you can remember scores that were so long
ago? Why don't you ever remember any winning scores with the Bears?
I don't know. It just seems like the losing ones always hurt.
We lost to the St. Louis Cardinals on a Monday night. That game 38-0 in 1970, and I'll never forget that.
I remember watching that on Monday Night Football a long time ago.
Yeah, you remember those kind of games.
Who was the quarterback? Was it Jim Hart back then?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Right, Jim, we've had Jim on the show here, but because this is being taped and it is Wednesday during the week here, now the Cowboys obviously firing their coach and Phillips gets the boot. Is it the interim, the offensive coordinator who stepped in?
Garrett. I'm puzzled with Jerry Jones and his decision making. When Jimmy Johnson won two Super Bowls and he fired him, you know, you have to wonder about a guy's decision making. And I feel the same way about firing Wade Phillips. I think that's probably a mistake.
Well, you know, Mel, that it's at every level, whether it's high school, college, or the professional level. But I was just, you know, trying to think in my head here. You know, you got an owner like Jerry Jones. Yeah, people love this guy. He builds a billion-something stadium. It's like a mausoleum. It's probably one of the greatest venues to go watch a football game. But doesn't this guy likes to get his fingers into everything, though?
It is a mausoleum. They can't win.
Yeah.
They're dead.
He wants to promote it by having, you know, you had your training camps in four different locations, which is really stupid. You know, he's out there, the face of it. He actually, you know, he's hiring and firing coaches. But doesn't he handcuff these coaches? Hell, Phillips didn't have a chance.
Yeah, you know, the football is a game of concentration, and Jerry's created too many distractions. You know, it's like a circus down here, and, you know, wherever he goes, he creates this circus atmosphere. And the guys don't have enough time to concentrate on what their job is, and that's playing football and winning football. And I think that's the problem. They've got too many other things to do. So, you know, it starts with leadership. And until that attitude changes, you know, the same thing is going to happen.
Well, you played on some great teams there. I'm just looking 1964 all the way through 1977.
Heck, one coach.
One coach, Landry. And obviously, you're a teammate with one of my former coaches I had to play for a couple years, the coach Ditka. Can you believe the icon this guy's become?
Oh, yeah. You know, we had great people. We had great people in our organization, great players, coaches, and we had players that stayed. You know, I played with a lot of my guys 10, 12, 14 years. And when you play with the same guys year after year after year, you know, you establish a rapport and you get to know each other. And, you know, that's why we were consistent winners, because there was that consistency. And Coach Landry always preached consistency and fundamentals and consistency. And so, you know, 20 winning seasons, and I was a part of 12 of them.
Yeah. you also didn't have free agency the way players have it nowadays.
Yeah, we weren't able
to. There's no way moving.
There weren't many options.
We didn't have the money. We didn't have a lot of things, but we loved football and we loved each other. And that created that atmosphere where we won football games.
Mel, they had the NFL Network had the top 100 players of all time. There was a lot of controversy. They said Jerry Rice was number one, Jim Brown two. Do you agree with that?
No.
Who would you say the best was?
No. Jim Brown was by far the best ever. You know, you've got Barry Sanders. You know, you've even got O.J. You've got Walter Payton. You got Johnny Unitas. I mean, you got some great, great players. But in my opinion, you know, I played against Jim for 2 years and played with him in a Pro Bowl. And you know, when you come up and hit a guy as hard as you can head on, and you go down, and he steps on your chest and keeps going, you know, that's power, and that's a great runner.
You know, a lot has been said, too, and we got about 30 seconds here to take a break, and then we'll come back with you. And we're talking with Mel Renfro, Hall of Fame corner, defensive back for the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, this billion-dollar stadium that Jerry Jones has, and I can see where he's getting a little bit nervous, and I want you to comment when we get back. But I think he's on the hot seat, man. He's got a big net to cover there, and he is just absolutely on eggshells how he's going to afford to do that. Anyway, this is the Barely Legal Show. We'll be back in a couple seconds.
Now, back to Barely Legal.
Well, we're having this great conversation. For those that are listening early in the morning, I hope you're staying up. Get a cup of coffee, you know, whether it's Starbucks, Dunkin' Donut, whatever. But what a great guest we have here, guys. And, of course, that's Mel Renfro here of the Dallas Cowboys. And I noticed that in your career, and it seems like this is quite a bit, you know, when it comes to punt returns and kickoff returns, you only did your kickoff returns about your first four, maybe five seasons, then it kind of tapered off or you actually didn't have any statistics popping up that way. But do you find that kind of true in the league?
Yeah, it's changed a little bit. You know, back in those days, I played full-time on defense and most of all the special teams. And, you know, I carried back every punt, every kickoff for the first two years. And mm-hmm. I broke my foot the third year and playing full time at corner. I was just not able to carry that load, you know, to continue to return kicks. So
kicks, yeah.
It took me off that team.
Well, you're more valuable as a corner and defensive back for the Cowboys. I mean, but then again, you know, we take our guy, Devin Hester.
He's more valuable as a kick and punt returner than he is a
receiver. Right. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can't carry that load of doing all of it because one area is going to be lacking.
Exactly.
Okay. Was there one receiver that you enjoyed going up against the most or the least?
Well, no, not really. I enjoyed the challenge, all of them. You know, Roy Jefferson was a good one when he was at Pittsburgh, and then the Redskins, of course, Charlie Taylor, Paul Warfield, Cliff Branch was extremely fast. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you got a guy like Bob Hayes on your own team and you're covering him all the time, you don't really fear anybody else. So, I enjoy working against Paul Warfield because it's something I found out about him. He had a little hitch in his route running. And when I discovered that, you know, it was very easy to cover him because I knew what he was going to do.
Yeah, but he was very precise in the way he ran his routes, wasn't he?
Right. But he had a little hitch, and he had stepped toward the way he was going to end up every single time. And when I discovered that, you know, I just wait for him to give that little hitch. And I just wait on him, and it would happen every time, not a failure.
What made Tom Landry such a great coach?
Well, I think his intelligence and his ethics and his consistency. He was a tough taskmaster. He made sure he held you accountable for your responsibilities, and you know, just a great man. I got to love him as the years went on, and after I retired, I really appreciated how he changed my life and made me a better person because of the way he taught and coached and you know, about life. And just a wonderful man.
Was there any hard feelings when Jerry Jones fired him back in, like, 89?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the whole state of Texas, that's just certainly Dallas, very bitter. I mean, it just the thing went down really bad, and, you know, it still lingers. I hear a lot of fans to this day say, I stopped caring for the Cowboys when Jerry Jones fired Coach Landry, and that's a big statement. I think a lot of people still feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely.
But could Landry have coexisted with an owner like that, do you think?
No, I really don't. It's just like Jimmy Johnson. You know, they couldn't coexist, and I don't think Coach Landry could have either.
I don't see any big-time coach wanting to take that job. You got Bill Cowher out there. You've got John Gruden. Who wants to go there?
Well, you know, Jerry's on the hot seat. If it doesn't work out with Garrett, there's going to be a big problem with that big state stadium and all those seats to fill. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next year or two.
You know, what they're saying is Tony Romo's not a real quality leader, you know. And, of course, when you had a guy like Phillips, not really an assertive coach per se, you didn't have much leadership out there. But what you need is a coach that that can kick some butt, take some names, and then Tony Romo doesn't have to be the leadership role. But
you're absolutely right. There's been a lax, relaxed atmosphere out here in Dallas, and you just can't have that in football. And, yep. And Jerry's created that, so it's just going to be interesting in the next year or two to see how everything plays out.
We just got a short time here left, Mel. And of course, we're talking with Mel Renfro, the great defensive back, Hall of Famer for the Dallas Cowboys. But let's get something serious here. Let's you know, you're from my neck of the woods. I grew up in Seattle. You're from Portland, Oregon. How about those Oregon Ducks? Aren't they doing great?
Oh man, there's something exciting to see that coach up there. I was up there for the UCLA game.
Okay.
I was honorary captain, and boy, I tell you, those fans are rabid.
Rabid.
The players are, boy, those guys are on the move all the time. I watched them practice the day before, and their practices is just like they play. I mean, they're moving here and there,
tempo,
and all over the
tempo.
Place, and they're excited.
Yeah. Wow.
They're vocal, and you know, they're going to seem to be reckoned with this year.
Yeah, why are you excited. Rooting for Oregon, Robin? You went to Washington.
I know I went to Washington, but you know what? And I was just going to say, Mel, you probably had some pretty knockdown dragouts with the Huskies during your college career.
Oh, yeah. They were our bitter rival. Oregon State was a cross city rival, but I tell you, every time we played Washington, they said, buckle your chin strap because they're going to come after you.
They had the best athletes money could buy, Washington.
Yeah. Well, UMac Laney already graduated. Oh, that's great, man. I tell you what, yeah, the Huskies are down a little bit, but I think Sarkisian is going to help bring them back a little bit. But did you get back in the Northwest much?
Not very much, once, twice a year maybe, but I need to get back up there more because I've got family and a lot of good friends up there, so I really love it up there.
He's rustling cattle.
Rustling cattle. Hey, off the air, you were telling us that you're in the Dallas area doing some sports marketing, retired, doing some traveling. Wow, it's got to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, you earned it. You deserve it.
Well, yeah, you know? Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, there's that music in the background, boys. That means we got about 15 seconds to wrap up. And, hey, Mel, just thanks from the bottom of our hearts for David and Elliot and myself. Thanks for coming on, man. You really made our show a delight today.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Mel Renfro. Great, great guy. We'll be back and to wrap up.